The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is WTBR 89.7 FM, Pittsfield's Community Radio, and you're listening to Stuff, a show about tips, hints, hacks, a joke or two. Listen in every Thursday morning. Here we go.
We should learn how to play that song on instruments and then come in and play it live. Or not.
But we would be recorded, so it wouldn't be live.
Well, that's true. It wouldn't be live.
But still,
it'd be sort of
semantics,
live.
Mm-hmm, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Lynn.
And Bev.
And together we have a show called
Stuff.
WTBR 89.7 FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, and you can do this too.
Come and join us.
You can contact us at
stuffingforus@gmail.com.
And you can be a guest on our show.
Or a host.
Or a host.
Yeah.
And all you need to do is bring us a surprise.
No. Just bring us you.
And you don't have to worry. We'll guide you. And it will be fun. We have had guests on our show before.
Uh-huh. And they've done such a
every time.
Fantastic job.
Every time.
Just
we
wonderful.
Are, sometimes we're shocked. And we think, man. They were great.
Yeah, they should be on every time or something. No. maybe when, okay, I'm going to shut up now. I don't know.
I do. Bev was a meter maid in Texas. So, do you know why we're laughing? She added a little ditty at the end, which I didn't know was coming. You sounded good.
Thank you.
You sounded like a little old lady talking.
Well, I was hoping I'm not offending her or anybody,
no,
you know. I don't
it.
Mean anything by it, but.
No.
Oh, I'm still doing it. I got to stop that. Gee, it gets into your blood. You just got to keep going with it. I can't stop.
You can't stop once it starts.
And I'm not Southern at all.
No, but you sounded like an elderly woman. And it was
I
cool.
am an elderly woman.
No. I mean like 100.
Oh.
You know that kind of.
All that.
Well, I don't know.
Because I was biting my finger.
You were biting your finger. I knew it. Well, today I have a couple of quotes of the day
yes.
to share with you all.
Mm-hmm. Y'all.
Motivational quotes. Let's see. Here's a motivational quote. The greatest discovery of my generation is that a human being can alter his life by altering his attitudes.
That's true.
True.
That is so true.
That is a quote from William James.
Yep. I like that.
And it is true. You alter your attitude. If you do it enough, it makes a new groove in your brain, in your gray matter,
and
it becomes normal. It's your new normal. You alter your attitudes, it changes your life.
And did you find, too, if you're angry and you're fighting with somebody and you don't know how to calm down, smile.
Yes.
Because it'll make you laugh eventually.
And you know what? The smile does something. It sends a message to your brain.
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Now, I have three more Jeopardy questions.
Oh, we did this on another show, and now here's three more questions. Jeopardy questions.
And these are not as difficult.
And these are not as difficult.
Somebody's coming. Oh, I got to find a good way to get away from that. Stop it! Stop it! I'm leaving.
No! Don't you dare leave me. You're on the board. You can't leave me.
All right. Originating from India, this is a popular spiced creamy tomato sauce dish. And I know you know a lot about food, so I thought maybe you would get this one.
I think I know this.
Okay. And I've always wondered what it is.
I have to write it down. I think my sister knows this too, and she's screaming it out. Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This 1941 American drama directed by Orson Welles is often cited as the greatest film ever made.
Really? The greatest film. Oh,
don't say anything.
Oh, no, it's coming to me, but it's not. It's like halfway there. It's halfway there, and it's not. It's not there.
I know you'll think of it before we get done.
Okay.
And the last one. The British Prime Minister gave a speech in 1940 known for the phrase, "We shall fight on the beaches."
And that was a British Prime Minister, so it's not who I thought it might be. Orson Welles, I know this.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
What you got?
Is just making my brain hurt. It's just a little pain.
A little pain for
a little brain. So I've got some funny and unusual hobbies that we may not have known existed. Yeah, and these were posted in 2023.
Okay.
It's pretty recent.
Okay.
And I didn't write down where I got it from, but I did write down who wrote it. Her name is Katrina McKinnon, and she did this for some website that I didn't write down. But it says, in the realm of hobbies, not all are created equal. So here is a hobby. It's meme painting. It says, move over regular painting. Memes, you know what the memes are that we use.
Yeah, on the computer.
Brighten dull days with their humor and give us something interesting to focus on for a little while. However, most memes stay popular for only a few weeks before being overtaken by
new recent memes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's why people like Travis Chapman have taken into immortalizing memes through painting. He considers his work as a way to, what does this mean? He considers his work as a way to memes if an electromagnetic pulse event wipes out the internet. So he wants to save the memes.
Instead of looking on the internet, there's how you can use these.
Yes.
Okay.
I see. This came from Instagram. He also loves to paint memes because it adds fun to his daily painting sessions, which are rather intense because he does conventional painting subjects.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. I'd never think.
That's all it says?
To do that. That's all it says. I'd never think.
I want an example.
To do that.
Yeah. How would you?
You would find a meme and then you would paint it and it would live forever in a painting. Even though on the internet it might be gone, and if an electromagnetic pulse comes along and the internet's gone, the memes are alive in his paintings.
But aren't they usually videos?
Sometimes, maybe
how
he just.
How can you paint a video?
Well, maybe the meme is just a 2 second, you know, the 2 second thing, and then it repeats itself.
So it's like a joke, and you've got the catchphrase.
I guess.
Okay.
So the memes are alive. The memes are alive.
Did you do...
What?
A quote.
I did do a... Did I do a quote? Yes, I did do a quote. I did. The quote I did... Oh, yes, we liked it. That's all we know, that we liked it. It was good. We don't know what it was. It was the greatest discovery of my generation is that a human being can alter his life by altering
his attitudes. Oh, yeah.
But see, you said that because it was worth hearing again.
Okay, sure. I'll go with that.
Uh-huh.
All right. I'm going to keep going with the things that I had on another program, like the safety issues.
Mm-hmm.
And please don't let me get too morose here.
Oh, gee.
Because it could be. Install at-home fail-safes. Install a working carbon monoxide detector and multiple working smoke detectors, one or more on each level of your home. Then educate yourself and your family on what to do in an emergency and practice the plan every few months.
I wonder how many people actually do practice the plan.
I never have.
I haven't either. But my smoke detectors go off when I cook. Many times. And no neighbor comes running. I think because they've heard it so many times, they know it had to be cooking or something. But I can say I've been in several, mostly apartments, where the smoke detectors are open and the batteries are out and it's hanging by the wires. And I have to say, I know people, and two people in my family, that have lost all of their property or part of it to fires. Ugh. And and you've got an apartment building with other people in it.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure.
You've got to be responsible.
You've got to trust that other people are not messing around with fire or something's happened.
Wow.
Because your apartment will burn as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if you're on a second, third, fourth floor.
Is this morose?
This is morose. I love that word, don't you? Morose. Doesn't that sound like I would have a steak with morose? I don't know, it sounds like a food. I'll have my mashed potatoes with morose.
I thought it felt like an emotion.
Like an emotion?
Morose.
Okay. Morose. All right.
All right.
Competitive duck herding is a hobby.
No.
Yes, it is. Duck herding is a popular outdoor team-building activity in parts of the UK. And these on the internet showed me pictures, so it's pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
This activity involves using trained dogs to guide groups of ducks.
Oh, I thought it was the people had to guide them.
Well, I'm not sure. Around an obstacle course and into a closing pen. So your dog, you have to train your dog to herd the ducks into a closing pen. The team
without eating them.
I would hope not. Oh, I hope not. So the team compete. The teams compete to see who gets the ducks into the pen first.
You don't pick them up and just throw them in?
No, ma'am. This builds patience. So you can't do that because you're impatient. It builds patience, teamwork, good communication, and listening skills. It's also very humorous on both the participants and the audience. Fans love this sport, and there's nothing quite like a day out with the family watching a bunch of ducks race.
If a fan didn't like it, they wouldn't be really called a fan. Well, that's a strong, that's a different one, yeah. This one I'm not sure about. Create a crisis package. Say there's a medical emergency or someone in your family goes missing. In the case of these kinds of emotional crises, would you know where to go to get critical information that would help? If you create a crisis package for everyone in the family and keep them together in an easy-to-remember location, they should include recent photos, fingerprints, emergency contact information, a photocopy of the passport, pertinent information on any medical conditions, allergies, or immunizations, and list of medications, and a DNA sample if available.
Wow, that's morose.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
That's about as you can get.
Wow. But, wow, talk about prepper. Talk about preparing.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't ever think you'd need anything like that, so you don't do it, but
who knows?
There's situations where probably would be a good thing to have.
You might really need them on November 10.
Oh, gee. No, November 10th is moving day. A lot of moving trucks will be leaving the country.
Well, that's what I mean.
Either way.
Yeah.
We don't talk about politics on this show.
No.
Hobby horse racing. I did see this on the internet. It's hysterical. So they are the toy hobby horses. They're decorated beautifully.
Those are the kind you stick between your legs
and
run?
Yes, it's a hobby horse. Participants praise this unusual hobby because they can do most of what you do with a real horse while being much more accessible and is cheaper than conventional horse racing or horse riding. It also gives people the room to incorporate a vast array of designs. They're beautiful. And colors, making the sport visually appealing. Now, this is what the hobby horse participants do. They jump. They do mounted games where they're on their horse and they have to do games while riding. They do cross country. They do dressage. I can't even imagine how they do dressage. They do freestyling on their horses to music. Now, remember, their feet are on the floor, on the ground.
And that pole's got to go somewhere.
They go out on trail rides. Can you imagine? You've got your
I'm tired just thinking about it.
It's very popular in Finland, which is also taken off in other countries, Australia, Sweden, the Netherlands, Germany, Switzerland. And in Finland, they also do fish slapping. And then there's a fish slapping song.
I have heard of that. I have heard. I can't believe it, but I have heard of that. Fish slapping.
Fish slapping.
Do they put it back in the water?
I have no idea. I just know that there is a fish slapping song.
Do they apologize?
Song, to the fish?
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
Now, I'm not sure about this one either, and I think this is the last one I'm going to do because they're weird. All right. Use hydrogen peroxide to pump a poison pet's stomach.
That's true.
It is true.
That's true.
It is.
That happened to a friend of mine whose dog ate a sock. The whole sock went down.
Well, it wasn't poison.
No. And then they brought them to the vet. And that's that. And they, I think before they went to the vet, they looked up what to do. And it's, they, hydrogen peroxide. So they, the dog, you know.
Well, I always thought if you had something you swallowed and it wouldn't, it was poisonous or whatever, you shouldn't upchuck because it can ruin your throat or something?
Well,
I don't
know. If it's a sock.
Certain plants, household solutions, and even some foods can harm cats and dogs when ingested. And socks, you know, don't leave out the socks.
Yes.
The smaller your dog, the greater the risk. If you believe your pet has ingested an object as a sock or a poison, try to induce vomiting and use hydrogen peroxide.
Yeah.
You gotta tilt their head back and pour it into their mouth.
I think so. I wonder why it wouldn't be Ipecac, because I know with us it's Ipecac syrup.
That would burn, wouldn't it?
I would bring my dog to the vet. I don't think I would attempt to do that.
Wow.
And while you're looking that up, because I think you are.
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay. Could you do it, or would you bring your animal to the vet?
I think I would bring the animal to the vet.
Yeah, me too. And this little puppy liked eating socks, liked going into the laundry, and actually had a little short sneaker sock. It was a sock.
Outputted it?
Well, the problem was, I think it was in his esophagus. Is her esophagus?
Oh,
I think. Yeah, poor little thing. And they were smart enough to.
Like she couldn't breathe.
Bring the little one to the doctor, and it was during COVID, so the doctor came out, got the puppy, brought it in. It was very heroic.
Wonderful.
There's another hobby, and it's called yarn bombing. And I saw pictures of this, and this is really cool. And I think it'd be really cool for a town to do, like when they did the Pittsfield did the I forgot what it was called, maybe a sheep-tacular, but there were these big maybe fiberglass sheep that artists around the area and would paint. And then they were around town. There's one in front of the old Berkshire Life building on the Pittsfield Lenox Road. I think Bennington did moose, and they painted mice, moose, and they were around town too. So
those
this,
are nice.
This
like
is different, though. This is yarn bombing. It's basically graffiti,
yeah,
but it's yarn, and they do it around trees. It's alternately known as gorilla knitting and yarn storming. Unlike regular graffiti, it can be done on almost any surface, including trees, adding a pop of color to neighborhoods and cheering up people walking by. It's also a creative way to protect or make a statement about certain causes.
Mm-hmm.
So people who yarn bomb,
mm-hmm.
they're knitters or crocheters, and they have a unique urban beautification program. The first International Yard Bombing Day was held June 11th in 2011. And the pictures I saw are beautiful. And they're all, the ones I saw are all around tree trunks. So people go and they probably make their piece, mm-hmm. and then wrap it around the tree and then finish the seam. And it's around the tree. I love it.
Okay.
And I'm not even a knitter.
Okay.
Or a crocheter. And I don't even want to make a statement. All I would want to do is just do it and think it's fun. And do it in our town.
You don't have to knit it before you wrap it around the tree, do you?
Well, would you stand there and knit it around the tree? Or would you do it at home and then bring it and then wrap it around the tree and then do your finishing seam around the tree? Because you'd have to be there a long time.
It's just getting funnier and funnier.
You knit.
I do.
Yeah.
And I crochet, but I wouldn't do that.
Okay. Well... All right, then.
If you like it, if it's beautiful to you, enjoy it.
Yeah.
Okay. What else you got?
I have extreme ironing. Do you remember we
talked about
this? So for those of you who didn't hear that show, and you know you can listen to all of our shows.
Yes.
All of them are on, is it WTBR?
Yes, it is.
.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go look at all the shows here that we do at WTBR. And there are several. Oh, my goodness. There's about 20, 25 maybe.
Oh, at least.
All kinds of shows. So you can go to our website and listen to past shows. And extreme ironing was one of the subjects that we had talked about. And we joked because I love to iron.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I did see pictures of this as well. The sad part is you can't, you know, obviously we're radio, so you can't see the pictures. But it says, would you ever have imagined ironing getting extreme? Well, it does happen in some parts of the world. Enthusiasts for extreme ironing carried out this strange hobby in places like the middle of the street, in canoes, on mountainsides, while they're skiing. Under a frozen lake.
They iron under a frozen lake?
In the forest, in swimming pools. This unusual sport has diehard fans from Austria, Croatia, Chile, Germany, Australia, and Japan, and even has an annual world championship. I would love to see this. I'd love to go and see extreme ironing. I am going to have to put this on my bucket list and find out when the next event is. I love it. This is another cool thing.
Why?
Because it's unusual and it's funny, it's odd, and it doesn't hurt anything or anybody, and it doesn't have a cause. You just do it for fun, and that's it.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
And I don't think I could do it in my kayak. No.
There's not much you can do in a kayak.
No. But, yeah. So if you want to come and share things that you know like this, or things that you looked up, or things you just would like to talk about, you can email us at...
gmail.com.
No.
Stuffing for us at gmail.com.
That's our email address. We love to hear from you. We're getting so many emails, and we're so grateful that we have so many listeners out there. It's funny because it's men and women.
How about that?
Yeah. So lots of car listeners, lots of people who listen on their way to work or in their workplace or in their wherever they work, from home, office, building, working outside, working inside.
I wonder if they listen when they're jogging.
Maybe. I don't know. Would that be tremendous?
That would be difficult.
Peaceful? Wouldn't be very peaceful. So do you want to hear another one?
Yeah.
Okay. Making Jell-O art. It's always a plus when a hobby involves food. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Jell-O art involves making three-dimensional edible artistic designs encased in sweetened gelatin. Other names for this hobby are jelly art, 3D gelatin dessert, and 3D gelatin cakes. The most popular gelatin designs are floral designs, but you can also try other forms, such as beer bottles for beer-themed events, miniature babies for baby showers. That just doesn't sound right, does it?
No.
You don't want to put a baby inside Jell-O. I don't want to make anyone think that we think you should put a small child, a miniature baby, inside the Jell-O.
That's right.
God. Fish for birds or nature lovers. Fish for birds for nature lovers. That doesn't sound right, does it? Am I saying that wrong?
Fish and birds.
Fish or birds. Oh, sorry. I thought it said fish for birds.
Oh.
And I thought, that's strange. So this is fish or birds for nature lovers. So this Jell-O art, they make something beautiful from scratch, and they find it very relaxing and meditative. Although some artists make their work purely for enjoyment, others sell the desserts. And you can buy jelly powder, you can buy tools and molds, all for this hobby.
Okay.
Isn't that cool?
I guess.
Yeah. The earliest forms of gelatin art is aspic.
I'm having a big, big problem because
Would you like to lay down on the couch and talk about it?
Yeah. Okay. You got a pillow over there?
Oh,
okay.
What is your problem?
I used up all my stuff and I was looking for some other stuff to use and I couldn't find anything.
All you need to do is ask me. I'm your partner and I can help you to find out some interesting stuff that we haven't really talked about in a long time, and that's food.
Thank you. Because I know, as lovely as your voice is, I would like to interrupt.
Yeah, and I'm sick of talking. That's the longest I think I've talked ever on our show.
These are common foods that can be toxic. Cherry pits. Now, I know about this one. I've heard this one before. The hard stone in the center of cherries is full of prussic acid. Is that how you say it? Prussic, you think?
Maybe.
Also known as cyanide.
Oh, my. Do you have to chew it, or if you just put the cherry in your mouth, eat the cherry, and then spit out the pit? That's what I do sometimes.
I think you would have to cut out the pit way or another.
And chew it and eat it.
Not the pit.
Don't eat the pit, right.
The pit has the cyanide in it. But there's probably so little of it in there, it wouldn't.
Yeah, you'd only die a little. Just a little. Just a little.
It says there's no problem if you accidentally swallow one. They just pass through your system and out the other end.
Uh-huh.
Just avoid crunching or crushing.
Don't pits. Crunch, don't crush, don't eat it, don't chew it.
Right. And now I've got apple seeds, too. They have cyanide.
I knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So throwing back a handful as a snack isn't smart. So why? Oh, apple seeds have cyanide. I was going to say, how do you throw back an apple?
So you'd hope that when they make applesauce in the big factories with their big machines, they have a cedar. Not a cedar, but a cedar or a seed removing machine.
Okay.
That takes all the seeds out, because if not, then our applesauce has cyanide in it.
I am never going to give a horse an apple again.
I know.
That scares me.
You have to cut it up and take and give them only the parts without the seeds.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
they do chew. They grind.
It says they're luckily they have a protective coating that keeps cyanide from entering them if you accidentally
swallow one.
But like you say, a horse will chomp.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. Elderberries. You may take elderberry as a syrup. Have you ever had elderberry syrup?
I don't think I've even had an elderberry.
I don't. I haven't had a younger one either. Where that came from. It just popped into my head. Anyway, you may take elderberry as a syrup or supplement to boost your immune system and treat cold or flu symptoms, but eating unripe berries, bark, or leaves of elderberry may make you feel worse than better, because they have lectin and they have cyanide too.
Oh my goodness, what's up with cyanide? What's
in all these seeds here? And things, yeah.
But yet we can plant apple seeds and grow apples.
I will never buy anything that's got elderberry on the label.
Well, isn't there elderberry wine, and isn't there elderberry in some maple syrup they will, or honey?
I'm going to check from now on.
But it's the berry or the seed in the berry? Is there a seed or is it the actual berry?
It's talking about you may take elderberry as a syrup.
So it's the elderberry.
Or supplement.
Itself. Well, I don't need elderberry, so we're good, right?
I guess.
Okay.
Whoa. Weird. There's a lot of cyanide out there. It's like nature's trying to get rid of us.
Oh.
Ooh. Nutmeg. Nice nutty flavor.
Love it.
Small amounts.
Love it. Uh-oh.
Don't eat it by the spoonful.
Uh-oh.
Even as little as 2 teaspoons. Who in their right mind would eat 2 teaspoons of nutmeg? It's got... All right. Hold on, Murray. Murisin.
I wonder if everybody caught that. Marie got it. I know she did.
It's an oil that can cause hallucinations.
What's it called?
Myristicin. And it can cause hallucinations, drowsiness, dizziness, confusion, and seizures.
And it is. It's in nutmeg. And it affects your brain.
Well, it affects your belly, too.
So, nutmeg is great. So you can put it in pound cake. You can put it in pumpkin pie. You can put it in, but you'll only put a little.
You don't just
spoon it into your mouth. You don't just spoon it in. Nobody, if you're eating nutmeg by the spoonful, don't do that.
Go to your doctor. Your head doctor.
It's not good. It affects your brain. And this, I'm trying to read this, but I can't. I can't open it.
It's a revolution.
Ooh, are we done?
89.7 WTBR FM. Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal. Opportunity grows here. With locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from Evgo Hypnosis,
Join EVCO Hypnosis October 17th for the inaugural Hypno Mixer for singles at J7 on Winter Street in Pittsfield. Discover the benefits of hypnosis while mingling with other singles in a relaxed and enjoyable setting. For more details and to register, visit EVCOHypnosis.com. Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available. Online at Sondrini.com.
It's a revolution!
Yeah, baby, yeah!
89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
And welcome back.
I want that voice.
I know. He's got a good voice.
Yeah.
So we are back with the second half of our show. I'm Lynn.
And Bev.
And our show is called Stuff. And you can email us at
stuffingforus@gmail.com.
And you have to type it that way. When you type it, you have to say,
It's got to be the word for F-O-R, not the number. No.
So tell me, yes. Number one, number two, and number three.
Yes.
Jeopardy.
Originating from India. I see this everywhere, but I don't know anything about it. This is a popular spiced creamy tomato sauce dish. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This 1941 American drama, directed by Orson Welles, is often cited as the greatest film ever made. And the British Prime Minister gave a speech in 1940 known for the phrase, "We shall fight on the breaches."
Is this Orson beaches. Welles one going to surprise me?
I don't think so.
Orson Welles.
You got that on the head, huh?
Yeah, just it's there, but I'm not close. You know, it's in there somewhere, and
uh-huh.
I know I've heard it, and I even think, you know, I think that I've heard it recently. I think it was...
You're not supposed to answer it now.
No, I'm not going to say. I ask Alexa the question of the day, and I think it was one of the question of the day things that Alexa and I talked about. Weird Alexa. Alexa and I talked, and we had some coffee.
A little chat here and
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I think I've heard this. Yep.
I don't think we should eat anymore.
No, I know. You're freaking out, huh? Not freaking
There's
out, but it's
so
scary.
So many different foods that are bad for
That's why
you.
I didn't eat those potatoes. It kept saying they had a bacteria, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh.
I would definitely look that up.
Okay, tell us more.
Canned tuna or salmon?
What?
Yeah. Unopened cans should be fine for a year or more in your pantry. Check the use-by date. Duh. Once a can is opened, it's only good for another day or two. Keep it in the fridge. Now, that's not so bad. No, and my cats love tuna.
Well,
it's natural, and so I was prepared to say,
you're killing your cats.
Yeah,
no, I never keep anything in a can in the refrigerator ever. I always transfer it to a glass container.
Smart.
And then put it in. But I will only eat it.
Why a glass?
I got rid of all my plastic.
Yeah?
Because I didn't want to heat things up in plastic.
Can't really, can you?
No, you're not supposed to. So you shouldn't put hot food in plastic. Like, oh man. When I get takeout sometimes, the takeout is hot and they put it in plastic.
Yep.
And I freak out. And I think, oh, like the rotisserie chickens at the supermarket. They are so good. I'm sorry. I know you didn't eat meat. but they're so good. But when they take them
Don't
out, they
apologize.
Put them in.
Apologize. You can eat what you
thank
want.
Thank you. That makes me feel better. They take the chicken out of the rotisserie thing, and they put it hot in a plastic container with a cover. And I actually one time asked if they had any wax paper, and I put that in the container before they put the hot chicken in the plastic, because heat and plastic is not good.
Just napkins have helped?
Or something to separate, yeah.
Okay.
It wouldn't touch. So, and you mentioned the tuna and the salmon, and that makes me hungry because I love tuna and I love salmon.
So do my cats.
What's next?
This is something that's kind of weird to me. Dry cereal.
I saw that.
It should stay fresh in your pantry for at least 2 to 3 months to keep it crunchy. Fold down the package liner after you open the box. I don't know. Or put it in an airtight container. The goal is to keep out moist air that will turn it soggy and make it spoil faster. I've never had any dry cereal
that turns soggy.
And they've been in my cabinet over a year.
And it's never soggy.
No.
And it's closed.
Yeah.
I don't know why that would expire.
That doesn't make any sense to
me. No. Maybe they're talking about high humid areas, like in Florida. A lot of times my dad had to keep things really tight because of the heat, the humidity.
Okay.
And little vermins that get in.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Florida has little bugs and things.
Ooh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you won't like this. I don't like this either. This is a taxidermy hobby. Yeah. This is express.co.uk. Taxidermy hobbyists all over the globe are determined to keep this art from dying. Oh, that's kind of weird. Modern day practitioners have adopted creative compositions, and I did see pictures, such as fashion accessories, in contrast to the traditional hunter-style taxidermy. This practice is a unique way for them to show their appreciation for nature. If you've lost a pet, you find comfort in the practice as you get to immortalize your furry friends. It also builds patience, since sessions take up to 4 hours. So they had pictures of people's pets, like one of them with a tutu on, holding an ice cream, a little fake ice cream cone, or another one that was smoking a cigar.
How does that make you, what was the phrase you use? Nature? To honor nature?
Yeah, if you lost your pets, you find comfort.
How is that?
Yeah, no. I couldn't do that.
No.
Is there anybody out there who has done that with a pet? I mean, we're sorry that we don't think we could do it, but, and you find that comforting? That would be helpful to know that brings someone comfort.
I don't understand. I can see my kitty that I really just adorably loved.
I know.
Sitting there with an ice cream cone, and I'm going to just hit somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Because it's just the skin, right? All the other stuff's gone.
Oh, God. I think, thank you for that. Well, I needed to know that.
Well,
yes.
I didn't know that.
Okay. Well, I'm squeamish, so what of it? Okay. Deli meats. Now, this is for you because I don't have to worry about it.
I don't eat deli meat.
Whoever eats deli meats. Fridge only is the rule here. Eat chicken or turkey cold cuts within 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Red meat slices will last 3 to 5 days. Mm-hmm. Prepackaged deli meats will be okay for a couple of weeks. Once you open the package, try to use the meat within 3 to 5 days. But unopened packages will last a couple of months in the freezer.
Real? Oh, in the freezer?
Yeah. But you know what? Yuck.
They're processed a lot. They have a lot of salt.
It's not real food.
Nitrites in deli meat and salt. A lot of salt. I do like it from time to time, but I probably only a couple times a year, really. Does anybody care? that I don't need telling me.
Kids like bologna.
I love bologna and cheese on white bread with
there
mustard.
There you go.
I don't eat it, but I love it. It's comfort food. It's what we grew up. We grew up with those
Why
sandwiches.
Why is it called comfort food?
Because.
Wait a minute. Should I? Never mind.
Do you have a comfort food? Is there a food that when you're sick?
When I was a meat eater years and years and years ago, chicken boiled with the broth and cooked macaroni in it.
Chicken
and
soup?
And I liked just the macaroni and the broth.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
But did you ever eat the chicken?
No.
So even before you were a vegetarian, you didn't
boiled
like chicken?
Boiled chicken, no.
Yeah. So that's comfort food. So even today, being a vegetarian, that might still bring comfort to you. I know you won't do it, but because it's a connection that you have.
Yeah.
You know?
It's chicken.
Yeah.
Even though it's just the water around it, it's still got chicken in it.
Well, maybe they can make chicken soup broth out of the feet. So maybe they could just cut up the feet.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Okay. I won't eat the chicken, but you're giving me the feet.
But they could just be amputated and be alive.
Wait.
I'm trying to save the chickens.
You are not saving anything, not even yourself.
He's really mad.
Holy cow. Can we...
She is really, really emotional, everyone. Really emotional. So I will rewind and remove the feet thing. Yes.
But people eat that. I know they do.
I actually went to a farm in Jamestown, Rhode Island, and I saw chickens with furry, soft, furry feet.
Feathers, yes.
They're beautiful, white feathery feet. Like
yes.
They were going to be in a show on Broadway.
Yes.
They had these feathery crowns on their heads, and there's a lot of different types of chicken. She's drinking her Pure Leaf lemon iced tea. She's taking a couple of swigs. So I also have some food information.
I'm not hungry anymore.
So this is.
I gotta come back from this. Okay. All right.
Eggs. Oh, did we talk about eggs?
No, eggs. I love eggs.
I love eggs too. They're safe to use 3 to 4 weeks past the date on the carton.
Well, okay.
If you have them.
Uh-huh.
You can do the float test to find out if your eggs are fresh. And I forget.
I know how to do that.
So I forgot. If the egg sinks.
It's good.
If the egg floats.
It's goners.
So if it's in between.
Yeah, you might get another day.
And it said when I read about this that it's not necessarily that it's going to hurt you. It's just the quality of the egg is not as good if it's older.
See, now that's
older.
That information is enough for me not to be able to swallow it.
What information?
That it's, even though it's off, it's past the limit, just a hair.
Yes.
It'll.
You won't eat it.
I can't get it down.
Okay.
Because, I don't know, there's something about if it's me.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
Would you eat it?
If it was a day off?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're still here.
I do know that when I crack an egg in the pan to fry it, mm-hmm. I did learn that if the white part goes completely flat, like water.
Slime?
If it just goes too far out in the pan and your yolk is sitting high on the flat white and your white is really flat,
yeah,
it shouldn't be that way. It should be the white is kind of flat and then it
puffs
up toward the yolk so that when you first crack it in the pan, that jelly-looking white builds up like a volcano a little bit, like a mountain, around the sides of the yolk. So you have this thicker part toward the yolk. That's a fresher egg.
Albumen.
That's it.
Yeah.
I knew him a long time ago. Albumen and his family, Rita Bumann, Kelly Bumann, and the twins.
Cracked.
The Bumann family were so kind. Al's died.
I don't know where to go with this. I'm just going to let her go and let it wear itself out.
Yeah,
you
he's
know,
gone.
That kind
he's
of
just,
thing.
Yeah,
okay.
This gone.
One I don't understand. Fresh herbs.
Fresh herbs.
Herbs that
herbs
are fresh.
Herb. Fresh.
Herbs.
What can they do?
Oh, put them in the fridge as soon as you get home from the store. Cut off and throw away any bruised stems or leaves. Yeah. To preserve herbs that brown or wilt easily, like basil or cilantro, put them into a glass of water with the stems down. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, I do that.
Cover the leaves with a plastic bag. Put them in a glass of water. How
yes.
long does that make them last?
Oh, days and days.
Really?
Oh, yes. And you know, I have basil from my garden that I stuck in some, I have this little wooden thing with several little vases in it.
Uh-huh.
And I stuck them in there, and they're all rooting, and the basil's growing. So I have fresh basil sitting there with
Do
the
you
roots
use it often?
In the glass. No, I wish I did, but I don't. But I love the smell of basil.
Ah.
So I'll just grab a leaf and I'll just squeeze it up near my nose. I've got way too much in my garden and way too much parsley.
So it grows like zucchini.
Yes. But you can freeze it. You can actually pluck the leaves off. They can't be wet. And you put them in a Ziploc bag
Wouldn't
and you throw them in the freezer.
Wouldn't they get wet if you freeze them?
You freeze. Well, you don't freeze them wet. You want it dry. Then you freeze it. And if you need it in the winter, if you're making sauce or something, you take it out, but you have to use it because once it thaws out, it turns brown.
Look.
Basil turns brown quick.
I love that word, though, because every time I see that word, all I can think of is Fawlty Towers.
Basil?
Basil.
I didn't watch Fawlty Towers.
Oh,
that's
you
that
missed
English
it.
Show.
It was so funny.
That's the English show.
His name
yes.
was Basil.
Basil.
But it was. She would.
Wait a minute. Bustle. She's the one that was. She's the one that her last name was Bucket, but she said Bouquet.
No, that was a different one. Yep.
So was he trying to impress people and saying his name was Bustle?
No, she would. She.
Oh,
that's just the way that she pronounced it.
Bustle.
Because they're very, very British.
Oh yes. The other one was pretty funny. My mom used to watch it.
Bouquet?
Yes. I only saw a few of the
Mrs.
episodes.
Bouquet?
Yes. She was pretty
the
funny.
The woman just drove me up a moment.
Oh, she's funny. She's very funny.
I liked her younger sister, the blonde.
Yes, yes, yes. and it was her husband or the brother, who was the drinker or the smoker, had a big belly. He was a slob.
Al. Was it? What was his name?
Was
oh, my gosh.
That family. That,
I'll bet you all know out there.
Yeah, you do.
Elmond. No. Mont. Oh, I'm.
Not coming to you?
I'll think of it.
Okay. Rice. Rice is one of those foods that may not even, you might not even know it has an expiration date, but it does.
Rice?
Rice. Rice is one of those foods that you might not know has an expiration date. However, uncooked rice can have a shelf life of years. Depending on the variety, white rice will last 4 to 5 years past the printed date.
If it's not cooked.
Correct. While wild rice and brown rice will only last 6 to 8 months past the date. I wonder why.
Huh.
Oh, because white rice is processed. And so
which is why it's not good for you.
It's not good for you.
No.
It's been processed and put into a little machine that spits out little pieces that look like rice.
Have you ever eaten star fruit?
Yeah.
Well, how do you eat that? Because it's got like thorns all over it.
Carefully, very carefully.
But what does it taste like?
It's watermelon.
Does it really?
Star fruit, I don't believe I've eaten it now that I'm thinking about it. Because now I'm thinking of a different fruit. Star fruit, when you cut it, looks like a star, right?
Okay.
It, doesn't it? And then in between the little spaces is where the fruit is. I don't think you eat that part. I wasn't thinking of star fruit when I said I ate it.
Okay.
I don't believe I have eaten star fruit. Okay. I just know it's pretty when you cut it.
If you have kidney disease, it's best to leave star fruit out of your diet. Normal kidneys can filter out the toxins in this sweet fruit. But for a system that can't, the toxin sticks around and can cause mental confusion, seizures,
really?
And death.
Really?
Yeah.
And why did they... Well, of course they say.
Why would you even want to try
it? It's the toxic effect of star fruit. Wow. It really does. It affects your brain.
It does have the thorns or whatever on it, doesn't it?
It does. I think
because
it's got
I've
little spiky,
it.
Spiky
yeah,
things. Do you
I've
know
seen
it's loaded
it in
with
the
vitamin
stores.
C?
But if it is, vitamin C isn't going to get your gut, you know, if you're dead.
So if you have the sickness from star fruit, nausea, vomiting, abdominal discomfort immediately after you ingest it, you need to go to the hospital.
You should not be selling it, people.
Kidney injury associated with consumption of star fruit. Wow.
We have to put out a petition. Don't sell star fruit.
Yeah. Here's a picture of it, and it's, I don't see little pokey things on the fruit itself.
Let me see the picture, because when I think of it, and there's no picture.
Oh, it's gone? Oh, there it is in, so there it is in the box.
Yes.
So we're looking at pictures of the star fruit in the box.
But I've seen them in some grocery stores.
Yes, they are sold in the grocery store. It's a large, it looks like a squash, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't that look like a squash in
it
the
does.
Box with a little
it
star
does.
On top of it?
It looks like
so
the starfish
when you,
that you see.
And I don't see any thorns, but maybe it's like
I'm thinking of something else then.
Maybe an orange. It looks kind
but
of like
still.
An orange.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow, we sure did.
Got into that one.
Got into that one for sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Butter.
Butter
can be stored for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It will last up to a month after the printed date if unopened in the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
Up to 2 weeks after it's opened, and it can be kept in the freezer for up to 9 months. And then it has a whole bunch of little butter pads. Butter pats. So if you leave your butter in the freezer for 9 months,
it gets promiscuous.
You're going to get little butter pats.
Well, do you leave it out on the counter or do you leave it in the fridge?
That's interesting that you asked that. Mark leaves it out. I say it's dairy. It's butter.
Doesn't if it's
it
real
spoil?
Butter.
Real butter. And but he likes it soft.
I do too.
And I don't eat butter.
I keep it in the fridge, but I take it out ahead of time.
You do?
Yeah.
You think of that?
Yeah.
You're a planner.
No.
Yeah. You are. You plan.
Really.
Well, you get it out to soften it, right?
Yeah, but then I forget I put it out.
Oh, and then you leave it out?
Yeah.
So does it spoil?
I don't think I've left it out that long.
Oh, ours is out all the time.
Or Greg will put it back in the fridge.
I'll have to look that one up, too.
Okay.
All right. Are we ready to close?
We are.
Oh, well, I'll look that up when I go home.
Okay.
Does butter spoil? Or you can email us with the answer at...
stuffingforus@gmail.com.
You bet.
Mary, I'm sure you know all of this. You can help us out. Pretty Mary. Okay.
Okay.
Originating from India, popular spice creamy tomato sauce dish.
Tikka masala.
No.
Ah! Is that even Indian?
And it's not even in a Jeopardy question.
Oh, I didn't. What is tikka masala? Tikka masala.
Actually, it's butter chicken.
Butter chicken?
That's what it says. I don't
really?
Know what butter chicken is. I've never had
an
this.
Indian friend, and I'll ask him.
Okay. All right. 1941 American drama, directed by Orson Welles, cited as the greatest film.
The greatest story ever told?
No.
I don't know. Oh, what is Young Frankenstein? Oh!
Somebody's calling me.
I think Orson Welles did write Young Frankenstein, maybe? But nope, I'm gonna kick myself.
Citizen...
Citizen Kane?
Yes. apparently.
I'll be darned. Okay.
And the British Prime Minister giving a speech in 1940 is known for the phrase, "We shall fight on the beaches."
Winston Forrester. Who is Winston Forrester?
Who?
Who is Winston Forrester?
Never heard of him.
Because I made it up.
Oh. You're so close.
Wait. Winston Churchill.
Yes.
Who is Winston Churchill? So you heard Winston Forrester and you thought, wow, she's got half of it.
Yeah.
I don't think I said Winston, though. I think I said Winston Forrester.
Oh.
Winston Forrester.
Sounded like Winston.
Whoa. Do I get a point for that?
No.
No.
Radio for people who used to love radio.
This is going crazy here. No. Cut it out.
That's all right. We're good.
Killed another one. The views and opinions of this program are those of the hosts and not those of PCTV or WTBR.